Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Actually only a small portion of this podcast that you can enjoy. The rest is deadly poisonous. Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast.
Oh, what a scary introduction, Ed Gamble.
Woo, like the fish, that puffer fish.
Oh, yeah, that was what you were thinking of, a puffer fish. Is that because we're in Los Angeles, California, where they eat a lot of sushi, a lot of raw fish?
Sure, I guess so. We're in LA. That was a lovely link into it, James.
No, no worries. My pleasure. We are in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, baby. So cool, dude.
It's really sunny outside. I think I might have caught the sun a bit.
I think you have, actually. I only noticed a little bit earlier. You do look like you caught the sun slightly, even though you did plaster yourself in sun cream like a true British gent.
Slathered it on.
Absolutely slapped it on, pasted it on, like butter on a roll.
Yeah.
And you went out earlier for a little walk, didn't you?
Yeah, went out for a little walk, just strolling, seeing the sights, you know, just taking in the local scenery.
Catching Pokemon. James, this whole trip has been on Pokemon Go, has not stopped just leaving rooms, leaving buildings at a moment's notice and walking around to catch Pokemon.
Well, you can get ones here that aren't available back home, and, you know, there's a lot going on, and it's Sinnoh weekend. You can get Sinnoh stones, and normally you can't get Sinnoh stones. I've got loads of evolves that need the Sinnoh stone in order to evolve them, you see. I'm sure, Ed, I know what you're going to say. Oh, why can't you just, like, keep on catching the Pokemon and then trading them to Professor Willow and then keeping the candies? Well, some Pokemon, you get all the candies that you need to evolve them, but then that's not enough. You need the stone on top of that in order to help it. And Sinnoh stones are very rare. Right now, it's a Sinnoh stone frenzy of a weekend. It's going to be over by Monday. I need to take advantage of that while I can. That means I'm spinning Pokestops, I'm getting the challenges from Professor Willow, and I'm trying to do as many as possible so I can get those sweet stones. 3 so far, but I need 13.
So the Off Menu podcast is a food podcast hosted by myself, Ed Gamble, and James Acaster.
Hello.
And what happens on it, James?
We're going to ask a guest their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side, and drink.
And our special guest this week is
Terry Hatcher.
Actual Terry Hatcher is coming into the Dream Restaurant to chat to us about her dream meal.
It's very, very exciting. Very exciting.
We are huge fans of Terry Hatcher here.
Especially because as a Pokemon master, I'm not just catching Pokemon, I'm hatching Pokemon. So I'm a bit of a hatcher myself. You know what I'm saying?
But if Terry Hatcher says a secret ingredient that we have pre-organized as part of her dream meal, she will unfortunately have to be kicked out of the restaurant.
Absolutely. And today, the secret ingredient is brioche buns.
Now, normally I would join in saying that at the same time as James, but I do not agree with this.
Well, you know, sometimes there's been a few secret ingredients which I've not agreed with, and I know how you're feeling right now, Ed. It feels pretty bad.
You're specifically talking about like a brioche bun with a burger as well.
Yes, I'm not talking about it like I love brioche, like custard brioche and stuff like that as desserts, as a little on its own. You know,
I actually prefer it with a burger. That's when I like brioche.
That's
is when it's with a burger.
Madness! It's the worst when it's with a burger.
We went for a lovely meal at Egg Slut today.
Yeah, that was nice. And I did like it.
Yes.
But I said to you, I think if I went again, I would have it without the bun.
That's because you all LA now. We've been here for a day and you've gone, I want that without the bread. I'm preparing for a roll. No roll for this roll.
So who's this character?
It's the actor.
Oh, it's the actor, the LA actor. Who's really watching
I'm preparing
what
for a roll. I can't have bread.
Oh, yeah? Would you like some chocolate?
No, sir, please. I'm preparing for a roll.
How about this tasty bowl of ice cream?
Why, I'd eat the bowl.
What? Surely worse for you.
No, the bowl. If I cut up my throat, then I can't eat anything.
Oh, so it's win-win there?
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, well, I hope you get the role. What are you auditioning for? What's the role that you're trying
to get? Oh, I don't
know
yet.
You don't know yet?
I'm just preparing.
You're just always preparing for a role. Do you have an agent?
The role? No, sir.
No agent?
No, sir.
No? Just
a heart full of dreams.
Have you got any upcoming work?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Name one?
Uber.
Uber, okay, you're an Uber driver.
Yes.
You're an Uber driver who watches what they eat.
Yes.
And lives in LA.
I can't drive.
Personally,
I'm preparing for my role as an Uber driver.
Oh, this is like the new Scorsese film, Uber Driver.
Yes.
Going around.
You talking to me?
Well, I mean, if it was an Uber driver, it would be like, are you talking to me? Because I didn't like it and I'll give you a bad rating.
Oh, yes. Cut all this.
Don't cut all that. I think Uber driver's a good riff in terms of a film.
Yeah, but because I was still within the character.
You're talking to me?
I couldn't hop on the back. It was a good riff.
It was very nice. Five stars.
Yeah, no, it was a good.
That kind of thing.
So if Terry Hatcher says brioche buns, she is out on her ear. We really don't want to kick her out. We're very happy she's coming into the Dream Restaurant.
Quite regularly we can't believe that we've got certain guests and to kick them out straight away would be pretty bad.
Yes, and we can't think of a better way to close out this series than with the wonderful Terry Hatcher. So she is the final guest in the restaurant this series before we power down the ovens for another few weeks. So let's hear the off-menu menu of Terry Hatcher. Welcome, Terry Hatcher, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you so much.
Welcome, Terry Hatcher, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
James is our genie waiter in the Dream Restaurant.
Okay.
That's what that wonderful sound effect was.
Right. I've heard it before. I've heard your podcast.
Oh, wow. That's great
news.
So
I'm familiar. I expected you to be in a full-on sort of costume, but you're not.
Yeah, well, I thought this would make you feel more at home. You know, I don't want to freak people out.
Do you want to just take us through what the genie's wearing today, James?
Yeah. Just a checked top. Just like a plaid. Is that plaid?
Well, we would call that plaid.
Normally what I was expecting,
shirt.
Terry.
But I thought he was going to be honest. And he was going to say there's some like chiffon purple genie pants with a little tube top with gold sequins.
Yes.
With some like seven veils that you're slowly taking off just to try to, I don't know, turn me on. Is that what you're doing?
Yes. Actually, normally I'm trying to turn Benito on. And it never works.
It wasn't me.
I'm trying to see if that little...
It wasn't aimed at me, otherwise you've been looking this way.
I think we all expected James to do an amusing improv at that point, but what he did was is he panicked and told us what he was actually wearing.
Right, plaid. It is plaid.
It's a good start. Yeah.
It felt like a dirty phone call, actually, when you asked me that.
But do you want to quickly change into what Terry described there, please? The seven veils?
Yes, I can wear that and see if it has any effect on Benito.
Yeah.
Here we go. Alakazam.
How are you feeling about that, Benito?
Still cold as ice. Look at him. Still absolutely dead inside.
Now, normally at this stage, we'd sort of ask our guest if they're a foodie or not. But I think we already know that you are because you've come in here and you're already talking about food ready to go.
Yes.
And on your social media, I think your bio says foodie.
It probably does. Yeah,
so
I love
food.
We know
it already.
I think food really, I lead with food. I mean, in terms of what I cook and cooking in my life, it's really how I show people I love them. I love cooking for people. I love hosting, you know, dinner parties. But then also I love going to restaurants all over the world, which I have. That's the way I travel.
So yeah, that informs where you go is where you're going to eat.
I mean, there was one specific example years ago when my daughter was a sophomore in high school. We needed to go look at colleges. It's something most people do when you're thinking about going to university. So we wanted to see 16 different universities. And so we decided to drive across the country, about 3,000 miles.
Wow.
And go to all these different universities. But I said, if we're going to do that, we're also going to go to all the James Beard Award-winning restaurants amazing. In those towns. Great. So that's my idea of an amazing trip.
Yeah, that sounds incredible.
Cross-country road trip with food.
And what award was that? James Beard?
Yeah, you don't know the James Beard Awards?
I don't know the James Beard Awards. Do you know the James Beard Awards?
I hear about the James Beard Awards on American food TV shows.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, they do it, like northern, southern, eastern, and like best new chef, best restaurant, best dessert. But it's a pretty prestigious award.
Who is James Beard?
A chef? I don't actually know. That's so funny. I should know that. I should definitely know that.
James Beard sounds like a character we'd make up on this podcast for a joke.
Yeah, I can just imagine he's got a lot of food in his big beard. It's yeah, the only thing I'm imagining.
He's got a big old beard that goes down to his feet, and he's got a refrigerator.
And all these award-winning restaurants are in it.
Just all in his
magical beard.
Did you find yourself pushing your daughter towards the university that had the best restaurant in it?
Mm. No, I did not. And on this trip, did we go? I can't remember where she ended up in school. Well, I can just say it. It's Providence, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And it's a small town, but actually quite a foodie town. One of the Johnson & Wales is a very big culinary institute. Mm-hmm. And that happens to be in Providence. So I don't know if that's why, but there's quite a few chefs that have trickled off into some pretty great restaurants.
Oh, cool.
So every time I get to go and visit her, we always go to one of them.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Would you say, and be honest, that you've maybe visited her more than you would have because the food is so good around there?
No, but it is a bonus for sure. Yeah. And she likes it because they're sometimes expensive. And so she can't go without me. So
that's the one.
So then she invites me to come see her more because she knows she'll get to go to these restaurants. Yeah.
When I was at university, I'd always pick there like two or three restaurants that every time anyone came to visit me, I'd be like, you're taking me here, please.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we always start off here, as any restaurant does, with still a sparkling water. But when you came in, we're in our Airbnb.
Yes.
And we said, would you like some water? And you were like, absolutely not. You said to us, don't offer me any water.
I don't think it was that aggressive.
No, I didn't really say that. I don't know why.
You said if I wanted water, I would have asked for water.
Mr. Plaid shirt, that is not what I said. I think I said, no, thank you. But I mean, now that you're asking me, now that you're forcing me really to drink something.
Yes.
I mean, if I had to choose going into the restaurant, I probably would pick sparkling.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need it now, though. Because I'm hydrated.
Right. No.
This morning I was at the gym, so I've already been drinking a lot of water this morning.
Right, yeah.
Yes. Everyone in LA
goes to the gym. Oh, they're hydrated. Yeah. Yes. That's
goes to the gym.
I think everyone in the UK is dehydrated.
Probably.
That's my theory.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But we're about 5 years behind hydration, I think.
Some point we'll start drinking water. But for now, only milkshakes.
and sort of like
I was going to say
ale.
Beer.
Is our water for sure.
You got a preferred gym water?
A preferred gym water?
Yeah. I guess you're not
plugging just filtered. Sparkling. No, just filtered. Filtered water. Yeah.
Filtered. Why does it have to be filtered? We've just come from New York, and people were very evangelical about the quality
about
of tap water.
About their tap water,
in New York.
Right? Yeah.
But in LA, does it have to be filtered?
I think I would try to filter it anywhere. Although when I go to a restaurant and they'll say, like, I probably wouldn't buy bottled still water. I would just get tap. I would get LA tap or New York tap.
And bring your own little filter with you in your
No, I would just drink it. But then I would also order sparkling. But I don't know. Gosh, the studies that have just come out have said that, I don't remember, the percentage was very high of all the crappy elements that are in our regular water.
Yeah. Like, so you
we're not doing a very good job as a government of keeping our water clean. I think that's a national problem.
I think you'd be the first guest to do this on Off Menu, but feel free to skip the water. If you've turned up to the Dream Restaurant hydrated anyway, you've been at the gym, you're hydrated, mm-hmm. feel free to pass on the water.
I'm going to pass on the water.
There you go.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? Why did you make that an option?
These people are hydrated, James. They don't need water. It's an insult.
If you really need me to have water, yeah. I will totally have sparkling.
You saw and Terry's I will, reaction no, I'll when be she grateful. Came in here. And
if
you
I drink sparkling water while we're talking, I'll probably burp.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
No, you know, that's another thing.
That's true.
She doesn't want water. You saw it when she came in, you offered her water. She just went, no. I don't want any water.
It's
Benita tried to offer
that.
Her one and she smashed it out of his hand.
But Terry's not heard what the amuse-bouche is yet.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing an amuse-bouche, are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Sand.
Oh. Well, then. Yeah. I would like some water, please.
Okay, sorry. I didn't realise that sand was going to be the amuse-bouche.
Yeah, yeah. Just some nice sand.
Do you know my daughter, when she was like 6 months old, I think, the first time I ever took her to the beach, I took her to the beach in Malibu, and she just, you know, was that age where they're just kind of like plop down, you know, they're not really mobile yet or anything. And I turned away for 2 seconds and she had fistfuls of sand. She was just eating fistfuls of sand. And of course I go running to the pediatrician, you know, she ate sand. She was just eating it by the handfuls. Like, and he said it was fine that, you know, they just poop it out or whatever. Yeah. But I thought that is insane to me. Yeah. Like, that texture is so hideous. I don't know why a baby would do that, but she did.
I guess you got to know that to try that. You got to try it to know that you don't like
sand. I guess that's true. But she kept, it wasn't like she did and then she just kept eating it.
Kept eating it and swallowing it. At that point, were you thinking, one day I'll probably do a cross-country trip with this person looking for university?
You know, I did not anticipate that. I did not see that coming.
Just hear eating sand and going, maybe she's not the college type.
That's great, eating that much. Did you ever eat anything weird as a baby, Ed?
Oh, I ate everything. I probably would have eaten some sand.
She also ate, one time we were in New York, this is very, very young, like baby age again. Maybe I'm telling enough of these stories. It's just going to see what a bad parent I am. We were at a brunch at a restaurant and, you know, they serve. So she must have been old enough to be drawing with the crayons. They serve, you know, give crayons for the kids to have their attention on something. And I turned, she had this blue crayon. I remember it. And I turned away again, probably to eat my bacon or something. And I turned back and the crayon was gone. And I thought, okay, where did the crayon go? Is it on the ground? Whatever, look for it. And she had little like crumbs of blue. She ate the crayon.
Both of these things.
She finally stopped this. Thank God.
They both look good. They look pretty tasty if you don't know any better. Like sand kind of looks like it could be
glistening and
like a brown sugar kind of.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So that blue kind of like, I'm more amazed that we ever know as babies like what not to, you know.
Well, we only know after we
eat everything.
Yeah. My uncle, who is a grown man now, but the main story that circulates around the family about him is, and sorry to be gross, early doors, Terry.
Oh, no. Sorry, Terry. I don't know what this story is.
When he was a little baby.
Oh, I know what he ate.
He's one of his own poops.
Yeah. Oh, that's probably more common than you think.
Yeah.
How did he cook it? Well,
probably not so common.
He did it, forgot about it, went back to it, thought it was chocolate and ate it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Okay, I might vomit. You're right. Yeah, you said you apologized in advance.
This is such a terrible welcome
to the restaurant. It's a reflex. I didn't think it was going to happen, but it's happening anyway.
Must be changing your mind.
Can we move on? Let's move on.
Yeah. Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Terry? Poppadoms or bread?
So
you're saying poppadom?
Poppadoms
so
or bread,
so Indian thing.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. There is a restaurant here in LA called Bevel that does beautiful breads. They're sort of a Israeli Mediterranean-y kind of restaurant, and they do their own pita breads, and they make everything. They do this one dish that I guess is a starter kind of a thing. I mean, that's how I order it. Well, they do serve pita and hummus, and that's amazing. I mean, but like the best pita and hummus you've ever had.
Yeah.
But they also do this burnt black sesame bread that they serve with the chicken liver pate. And that's probably one of the best bites of, like, when you think about, I have many, many images of the best bites I've had of food all over the world. That's definitely one of them.
That does sound good.
I don't, unless the bread is great bread, like we have a bread company here in town, called Bread Lounge. They make great bread. I think it's Bubs and Grandma's. They make great bread. Unless it's great bread, I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to like fill up on that.
Bread that's not exciting, I feel like I'm wasting it. I'm kind of like just eating it for the sake of it. Chips and dip's always good.
Yeah.
Mm. Poppadom's always good. Prawn cracker's always good.
Bad bread is bad.
Bad bread is bad.
Yeah. But that black sesame bread with chicken liver pate sounds amazing.
Also, I love that burnt now makes me think, oh, that's going to be delicious. When people say burnt something, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'd love it like that. Whereas back in the day, it would be like, oh, dear.
Yeah, right, ruined. Right. Yeah.
Yes, it's true, right. It gives it class now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you cook yourself, don't you?
I do.
Have you ever done a burnt dish? Like
actually burned it?
Oh, no, or deliberately.
On purpose.
Or even by accident, to be fair.
Yeah, I definitely have burnt. Lately, I don't know what's up with me. I've left a few things on the stove, like cooking, and then walked away and gotten involved in my computer and then come back, and I'm just lucky the house isn't, like, on fire. You know, when you leave a pan on the stove too long and you burn whatever's in it too long, like, that pan has to go in the garbage. Like, you can't even clean it. It's
You've ruined the pan.
I've done that a couple of times. God, I hope
and
it's not.
And do you bake bread?
I have baked bread. I mean, I went to culinary school, and that was when I first started learning to bake bread, just because it was one of the classes. I think I've made my own pita bread at home. That's pretty easy to do, although I certainly don't do it as well as this restaurant I was telling you about. And I've made focaccia. I made Paul Hollywood's focaccia recipe. Uh-huh. And that came out really good.
Oh, wow.
Well, of course, we've got two alumni of the Great British Bake Off sat in front of me.
It sounds like we had very different experiences.
Yeah. James, do you want to talk Terry through what happened?
Well, I'd call it an experience. I was just very jet lagged at the time.
Okay.
I just come back from here, actually.
Okay.
And
Terry, did you travel from here?
Yeah, I travel from here, so I'm not quite sure. Yes. But go ahead. I'm not trying to show you up or anything.
I probably did a different route back.
Right, okay. Yeah, yeah. You took the long way around.
Yeah. And I had what I think is commonly just, I think this is a baking term, but what is referred to as a waking nightmare. And everything fell apart. My flapjacks were just like a porridgey mess.
Aww.
I had to do a cream horn for the technical, which is, I think, a bit too hard for the technical. I think technical was meant
we
to
had
be.
The we had a cream pie.
Yeah,
yeah.
How did that go? How did you do on that?
I finished mine and helped other people.
Well, I did neither of those things.
Alan Carr didn't know how to make custard, so I helped him make his custard. And then one of the other girls had an issue with her hand, so she couldn't pipe her whipped cream, so I went and did that because I was finished.
Wow. That's how you do it, James.
I don't know how you did that. Like that I couldn't even think in like normal... My brain was all over the place.
No, I will say the technical is hard. It's hard because if you the way it works with the directions, the very minimal directions they give, if you don't know what you're doing, it doesn't tell you what to do. So you're right. Like if you don't know how to do it, it's not there, and that makes it very hard.
They knew what they were doing with us. They just completely gave very little direction. Cream horns, like pastry, and like. Creme pat. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
So you had to make the custard and then you had to pipe, you had to make the horn and then you had to pipe it in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I couldn't do any
of
that.
No, that sounds like
a
lot.
It all fell apart.
That sounds like a lot.
And then the next day I had to make my special place meant to be, I guess, like cake and stuff, but I just did it with sweets. Oh, meringue, that was it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I had to make, I ran my mouth off and told him I could make a theme park out of meringue, but I couldn't. So that didn't go well either.
It went so badly, Terry, that he became a meme.
Really? Wow.
That's how badly it went.
Became known as the worst baker in Bake Off history, and that's including. That's not just the celeb one. That's like all of them.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not good.
It was the best day of my life, Terry.
He had a good time.
I had a great time.
Did you like the show before, though? I mean, is that why? Yeah.
I've not watched an episode since.
Oh, my God. It's like trauma, like PTSD. Yeah, you can't do it.
I've not been able to watch it
since that. I'm such a huge fan. And this was back a couple of years ago, at least. And I think I was one of the first people in the States to be a huge, huge fan.
Yeah.
Because when the offer came to me to do the thing for charity, it sort of got came to me in a way of like, you probably don't want to do this, sure. but here's this mm-hmm. thing. And I was like, what? Of course I want to do it. Oh my God. And I went over there with two big suitcases packed full of 30 pounds worth of flour and all my own tools.
Bought
and
your
all
own
my
flour?
Yeah.
How did that look at customs?
Well, I know. I really, I was sweating it out on the plane. I thought, I am completely getting arrested for this.
Unmarked bags.
But the producer called me like the day before I was supposed to leave. And she said, you know, it just really dawned on me that our flour is different than your flour. And if you've been practicing with this stuff, like, it might not work with what we have here, so you better bring. So I brought my own food color dye. Yeah. I brought my own. Yeah, I brought a lot of stuff. Mm. Yeah,
that sounds probably, like you really prepared for it as well.
I did.
I might have been doing it with different flour.
That was your problem.
Yeah.
At home when you practiced,
when I made my flapjacks.
Did you practice at home?
Once, yeah. I had one run through with my sister. It was easy.
Because your sister did it?
Yes. But it looked very easy when I watched her doing it. I thought, this is going to be great. I'm going to nail this.
Wasn't it pretty, though, the tent and the whole thing?
Like, no.
No, okay. I just kept saying, I can't believe I'm in this tent. I can't believe I'm in this tent. I really loved
it. I said that as well, but not in that tone. Also, when I did it, it was a very cold day. I don't know what the weather was like.
Yeah, it was cold.
Yeah, so
yeah,
I was
cold
like,
and rainy.
Stop trying to make excuses.
Doesn't, you know,
Terry also flew from LA. Mm. It was also a cold day.
Yes.
She finished and
it
helped
was
everyone
raining.
Else.
Yeah.
Yes.
She probably could have finished and then come to your episode as well and helped you.
That would have been good.
I would next time. If you ever feel like
next
you want to confront your fears or whatever, I could be your sous chef.
Yeah, well, that would be good. That'd be quite the team, actually. Like the worst and the best who have ever done it.
I think
team up together.
I think
unite.
Team is probably stretching the term.
You just
I
didn't.
Pull my weight.
You just didn't practice. I bet you would.
Yeah, I didn't practice, and you know, all so many things. I guess you know, cream pie is a bit easier than cream horn.
I agree.
You know, it sounds pretty
you're right.
easy.
I think you're right.
What did you do for your showstopper?
So we had to do a rainbow cake, and it was. It had to have at least 6 layers that represented all the colors.
Wow.
And it had to be at least 2 tiers. But so then I did 12 tiers. Because I'm an overachiever. I did the bottom layer I did with the cake being the rainbow, all the different 6 colors. And then the top layer, I did a white cake and I made lemon curd as the filling between the layers, but I changed the color so that the curd was all the different colors. So that when you cut into it, it was white cake with the rainbow in the filling, and then the bottom was rainbow cake with white filling.
Absolutely incredible.
I iced an egg. I piped some icing onto an egg so it looked like Sandy Toksvig. That's what I did.
Yeah. James.
Good times.
Yeah.
Good times in the tent.
Also, I did have one fun time there, but they edited it out. It didn't make the edit.
Oh, what was
so
the fun time? Well, tell everybody what it was.
Paul Hollywood.
Yeah.
I don't know if you found this.
Yeah.
It's an awful environment for him to be in, really. He's got a real sweet tooth, and he loves like just like picking and stealing little bits of food. Off
oh,
him.
I didn't notice that.
Well, I had, for my showstopper, I had a whole kind of like, you know, sweet
candies.
Shop. So, yeah. I had loads of Dolly mixtures. I don't know if you have them in the States, Dolly mixtures, but they're very sweet, little kids' sweets almost.
No, that's not the all sorts. I don't know what
no, they look kind of similar. They look like miniature all sorts almost, but they're not licorice. They're very sweet.
Okay.
And Paul Hollywood loves them.
Okay.
He's like addicted
Good
to them.
Good to know. Okay.
And he kept on coming over and stealing handfuls, and I was quite annoyed with him.
Okay.
So me and Rylan, who was another contestant on it, we thought we'd try and catch Paul Hollywood. Like, and I got the bowl full of Dolly mixtures, and I put them on the floor. And I put them under a cardboard box that I'd propped up with a stick. And then I tied a string to the stick and I hid behind a bin holding the other end of the string. And then Rylan was shouting, Paul Hollywood! Like that. And then Hollywood came along and he looked at the bowl and I shouted, Lights out, Hollywood! And I pulled the string and then the box... Well, I mean, it didn't get him. He didn't get under the box, but it was still pretty fun.
This is why you didn't finish your cream pie or whatever, because you were busy connecting a rat trap for Paul.
Yeah, because that's exactly why, I think.
Yeah, and then you had to quickly ice
People should know this. People should know that you were doing other things.
I was doing things that I thought would be great television, and they didn't even make the edit. Apparently, good television is a man having a breakdown. That's what they really like. Well, we'll come to your starter just so we can stop reliving my my worst nightmares. But so your starter, is it from a specific place?
I've made a list. Printed it out.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, you printed it out. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm so organized.
Though. Yeah.
I mean, this is, exactly. I didn't even think about what I was going to
say. Behaved on the bake off. I take things very seriously, especially when it has to do with
the listener. Terry has produced a printed out typed list that looks incredibly detailed.
It is typed out, but also has amendments written in red in handwriting.
She's given herself script
notes. And I did this at midnight last night. Well, no, 11:18. You can say almost midnight. Yeah. Okay. See, this is my problem. I've been fortunate enough to go to so many places that I couldn't decide. Plus, I also really have a problem with the word favorite. Like, I've never, ever, in regards to anything, been able to really, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite song? Sure. Like, it's all, there's just too many, and they're all connected to, like, different memories, and I can't pick one over the other. So, that was very hard for me. So, the French Laundry has a starter called Oysters and Pearls. Mm. And it is just, I don't even know. I don't know what they do at the French Laundry. I mean, that guy's, I've been there over in the decades. I've been there three times, most recently, like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And every bite of food that you have there is a bite that you would remember. But there's something about this dish that it's just like the perfect bite. So, and so rare and special, and caviar and just yum. Okay, so Oysters and Pearls from the French Laundry. Then, and this makes me sad because this is my favorite. Okay, I have one favorite. One favorite thing.
Excellent.
My favorite resort hotel, and I got to go there twice in the whole world, was a place called the Southern Ocean Lodge on Kangaroo Island in Australia. And the whole thing just burned down.
Oh.
Yeah, so, so sad, sad. So sad. I mean, the times I've had there, you literally would sit in their lobby and look out over, I guess it's the Southern Ocean, and there'd be double rainbows like every day, and nothing, 2,000 miles of ocean between you and Antarctica. Like just, and that feeling of like you're on the edge of the world, like there's nothing between you and Antarctica, and just, it was just beautiful. And in their lobby, they had a wine room with all Australian wines. And you could go in, and it was part of the fee. You could open any bottle of wine.
What?
You could have one glass, and then you could put it on the common bar, and then you could open another bottle, and then you could have another glass. Like, that idea for that you could just...
Yeah.
You mean I can just open any of these bottles whenever I want? And that was really fun. Anyways, they had great food, amazing staff. And the first time I was there, and I had a Kumamoto oyster. So just if you imagine one oyster in its little shell, you know, served to you on ice, and this bite of this oyster was this experience, the temperature, whatever. I remember it like it was yesterday. So maybe that Kumamoto oyster.
But you'd need the surroundings as well, because it all feeds into each other.
Well, and I think this is part of probably every, I think this is part of probably every food story that you will hear me say, is it is all like, who was I with and where was I and what was I doing? You're right. You're not in a vacuum. You're not in a room eating the food by yourself, although this was pretty great. So then, let's see, what else do I have? I have, this is from Bazaar in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And I don't know if he still does, but I think he does. He does a chunk of foie gras that's wrapped in cotton candy. And you eat that in basically one bite. And somehow that combination of the fat and the salt and the sugar, it's just insane.
I was going to ask if it was Bazaar, like the market, or Bizarre, but when you tell me what the dish was, it's Bizarre, right?
No, it's Bazaar.
Well, it sounds bizarre.
It's off very, it's very, the whole restaurant is very, what do you call that? Like, you know, molecular gastronomy.
Right,
Everything is, they have a very famous dish, which is not one of my favorite things, but where it looks like an olive, and you bite into it, and it all just goes gush, like, so it's not really an olive,
yeah.
But it tastes like an olive, but it isn't an olive. Like, they've done. It's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And to me, some of that is fun, and some. But this particular thing, I think, is the combination of the sweet and the fat and the salty that I just liked.
Those places, if they want to be useful, they should make a dish that looks like a blue crayon.
Yeah.
Food, and then you can bring your kids there.
Yeah, big bowl of
sand.
And
the kids are like, being naughty here, and actually it's vegetables and stuff. And they're knocking them
back.
That
would be genius. That would be good. So I think after just reciting them all to you, I think I'm going to go with the Kumamoto oyster, and probably because of the heartfelt loss of that beautiful resort and all those people's, like, jobs and things.
Yeah.
I feel
also dishes like that, when it's like just one thing and that's all it is, those often tend to be pretty amazing at those kind of places, because they just put everything into thinking about, like, this doesn't need anything else, and it's just, this is enough, and that flavor that they're trying. Because was it a... Because we've had a lot of oyster chat on this podcast in the past. Was it a creamy oyster? Or because I don't really know.
I don't think it was too creamy. I think it was a little more firm and crisp. And I mean, small, tiny. They're tiny, which I like the smaller oysters. Mm-hmm. I sometimes think of the bigger ones as being creamier.
Yes.
But I don't know what the right correct adjective is.
Yeah.
For, you know.
How much did the free wine bar contribute to how much you enjoyed the oyster?
I'm not going to take away from this oyster. I'm not even sure. It was at the beginning of the meal, been drinking that much yet. I'm sure later it contributed to my giant Scrabble loss.
Oh, wow. So things got pretty crazy on
We would sit in the lobby and play Scrabble all night long and drink wine, and
I'm guessing that you bought your own Scrabble from home?
No, they had it there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you've been practicing on American Scrabble.
I would bring Scrabble. And Yahtzee.
Oh, yeah. Yahtzee fan?
Yeah. I like games. Yeah.
We played a great game last night.
What were you playing?
The Great Benito bought it along with him.
It's called Love Letters.
Oh. So, I thought you were going to say Cards Against Humanity.
No. It's almost the opposite of Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, okay.
The aim is, and I had no idea about this card game, the aim is to get a love letter to the princess.
Yes.
And there's like all these different like medieval characters that you've got to play. And we really upset James by putting some medieval music on. And then I started talking like I was a medieval man.
Yes. They put on some lute music and Ed was there going, hark, how hast thou the prince in your hand? All that kind of stuff, pulling people fair maidens, all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, you basically just have to, like, guess what other people have got in their hands.
It's sort of like Go Fish?
Yeah, it's basically Go Fish, that's needlessly medieval.
A countess.
Okay.
A baron.
And were you drinking when you played this
game? Yes, I was heavy with mead.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
I'm heavy with mead.
He said it repeatedly.
It was a long day on the battlefield.
He said that he was heavy with mead. Said it all the time.
Really upset him. It was great.
If it's 1-5, and if you win a game, you get a token of affection from the princess.
It's pathetic.
I was going to use the word sad.
Utterly sad and pathetic. But we all really went for it.
But creative. Yeah. I like it.
You know, it was our first night in LA. What better thing to do than play a medieval card game?
Stay inside and play a medieval card game.
It's Oscars week, you know? There's not much going on. You guys need to get out more.
Yeah. Well, every now and again, we'd be like all looking at our cards and I'd just like... Just sit and look around and just hear the music being like.
It sounds like this should be in Spamalot or something.
Yeah, it was that sort of vibe. Yeah.
Three knights sitting on a hill playing a card game for a princess.
Exactly how it felt. And I also guess I didn't like it because I lost.
Yes.
Ed and Benito won.
There's a theme with you losing things.
Yeah.
We're going to have to turn you into a winner.
Yeah, that's why I came to Hollywood.
Yes.
That's what it's about. Even though Hollywood was my downfall originally in the tent.
You've come here for the real Hollywood handshake.
Yeah, yeah.
I got one of those. Sorry to run it in.
Sorry, blasé about it.
I forgot to tell you about that.
I got a Hollywood handshake.
I got one for each tier of the cake I made.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it. And then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
So your main course,
yes,
you've teed yourself up lovely with that oyster. So now the main course, I assume you've got a few options for this one, or was it down to just one?
No, I do. I'm reviewing my list to see if I can,
Terry's just had to turn onto the second page of A4.
Yep, just flipped.
Okay, well, I'll just tell you, okay, so there's a place in Kennebunkport, Maine called the Lobster House, and it's not a restaurant, it's a fish house, an actual like lobster where restaurants go to get their lobsters, or if you were going to cook lobsters at your house, you could go get fresh lobsters that they just got that morning out of the ocean. But you can also bring your own wine and go there and they'll steam it for you, and you can sit on their back porch, you know, at just like a crummy picnic table and overlooking the ocean, and just put on a lobster bib. They'll give you one of those plastic lobster bib and just rip your lobster apart and drink your wine. And again, getting back to who you're with and where you are on a beautiful, you know, August day, that's amazing. That's an amazing, amazing meal.
Where was it? What was the name of the town you said?
Kennebunkport.
Kennebunkport.
Yeah, Kennebunkport.
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 That's fun.
It's a pretty famous city because, I mean, it's a small town.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, and it's become quite touristy. And one of the reasons for that is that the Bush family had their big sort of summer complex.
Right.
That was, I mean, they still have it.
Kennebunkport does sound like something that George Bush Jr. would accidentally call someone. So it's not actually their name.
You must be
Kenny Bunkport. Not Kenny Bunk. What the hell are you just calling? Angela Merkel. Kenny Bunkport.
What I enjoy about, so lobster's supposed to be like the fanciest, one of the fanciest foods, but also it's offset by the fact you have to wear a bib while you're eating it.
I know,
yes.
Right?
Like, it's almost as if they're not letting you be fancy because you have to put on a child's bib.
But I actually, and I love it like that. Yeah. I love, you know, ripping it apart myself with my hands. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It's part of the whole, as opposed to, I don't really get it in restaurants. Mm. Like, I don't really order. I think maybe once you have an experience like this, eating like a lobster tail in a restaurant is maybe less fun. So my next place is called Kismet, and that's here. Mm-hmm.
I've just heard about this place today. My friend wants to take me there.
Well, if you go,
this is a good sign.
You should have the rabbit platter, and it's for, served for two, but I always eat the whole thing by myself. And speaking of breads that are worth having, so if you order this platter, it comes with the rabbit. It comes with different vegetables, pickled and, you know, cooked or sautéed. There are different sauces to sort of dip everything in. And then it comes with the side of this thing called flaky bread. That might be the best bread.
Oh, wow.
And I think you can only get the flaky bread if you order the rabbit platter.
So it's a hack to get the flaky bread.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you can just get a side of the... You can get other bread there that's also very good. Mm-hmm. And everything there is good. But something about... I just... Your face, you kind of freaked when I said rabbit.
No, not at all. No, you didn't.
Oh, okay.
I will eat.
And you eat anything.
He'd eat a rabbit platter. He'd absolutely love it.
I had beef heart last night and James really, really looked ill when I ordered that. Mm. I made you try it, didn't I?
You made me try it, yes.
And it was good.
It was fine.
I had one of the best, here's another place you guys should go while you're here, Gorilla Tacos. Have you heard of this yet?
No.
Okay, Gorilla Tacos, I think it's maybe one of, it's probably the best tacos in town, but kind of gourmet tacos, although they do make one called the Pocho, which I think is sort of like when I think of my childhood of like crappy, crispy corn with ground beef, you know, just like... Somehow they've done that, and it's like the most elevated version of that. It's that might be one of my, like my, if you had asked me what my comfort food bite would be, I would say the Pocho Taco at Gorilla Tacos. But they started as a food truck. They didn't even have a brick and mortar. And I don't know if you know who Jonathan Gold is.
Yeah, he's the reviewer, right?
Yes, but, I mean, he's passed away since, but in those days, he put Gorilla Taco's food truck on the best 20 restaurants in LA.
Oh, wow.
When it wasn't even a restaurant. And so people used to stand in line for these tacos for like an hour. And so back in those days, I don't think he makes it anymore, but he used to make a duck heart and persimmon taco. Mm. And that was one of my favorite things. And I would have never thought of myself as somebody who was going to eat duck hearts. But, you know, it was delicious. And I do really, I don't eat a ton of meat. I eat more fish. I will eat meat, but what I really believe in is respecting the whole animal. So when I cook at home, like if you're going to cook a chicken, like use all those parts of it.
That makes sense. I mean, there's no point being squeamish. If you're going to eat meat, you should.
Right.
You should eat all of it.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, it's using the whole animal, not eating it. You could, like, if you don't want to eat like some of it, you could use it for other stuff.
Like what?
Like a chicken beak, you do that and like a pair of mini castanets.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's suggesting you should eat the chicken beak.
I'd get the chicken beak, I'd stick it on, and I'd like a half man, half chicken character called Kenny Bunkport. I'd walk about, I'm Kenny Bunkport.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
So.
Yeah, Terry's moving us on, fair enough.
No, I'm not. I have so many to go through.
Fair enough. I was about to pretend to be a chicken man for a while.
Oh, yeah. I think you should.
Kenny Bunkport.
No, I think you should.
No. That was the perfect time to move him
was
on.
Was it?
I could see in his eyes that the improv was dying.
Oh, he ran out of Kenny Bunkport.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really, all it is that I'm completely obsessed with this Kenny Bunkport name. It's the kind of thing that I would normally want to stick on phrases, but I don't really know exactly.
I wish I'd brought a hat or something that said, I'm going to get you a Kenny Bunkport hat. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
That would be awesome.
I'm going to send that to you.
It's like normally...
It's probably going to have a lobster on it, and it'll say Kenny Bunkport.
Like a big lobster, like a lobster tail like coming out of the hat almost. That would be cool. Like a huge hat. It's like...
I was going to go with just a classic baseball hat. But if you would like a silly lobster out each ear.
Lobster out of each ear and stuff like that. The thing is with the name Kenny Bunkport is sometimes as a comic, you know, there's like something comes up that's clearly like, oh, there's a joke in that. And it's very clear what the joke is and you just go straight for the joke. Kenny Bunkport, I feel like you are with your dishes. I was like, I'm spoiled for choice here.
Yeah.
The amount of things I could do with this Kenny Bunkport person. And it's very hard to like know what kind of character Kenny Bunkport is. I went with a like half chicken, half man person, but like
yeah, actually, that was a big swing.
Actually, feel that I don't know.
It's very like well, I think it would like have your... to be lobster. You'd have to be half lobster, half person.
Yeah.
It's really a lobster town.
He'd have lobster claws like Dr. Zoidberg.
Well, or you could have clams. You could also you could do clams because they do clams and lobster. That's the thing.
I feel like he'd be like your American cousin that you've never met before.
Yeah. And maybe one of those people who walks around and he's got like a tray of like cockles and clams and just seafood stuff, and he goes around trying to sell it to people while they're trying to do other things. But like at really inappropriate times. So not like when they're eating or when they're like, he'd like be straight into like a business meeting with any clams? Anybody? I'm Kenny Bunkport.
Big old smelly tray of clams.
Yeah. You want clams, don't you? This is a funeral, Kenny Bunkport. Get out of here. Never too sad for clams.
I don't like him.
Well, I don't really like Kenny Bunkport. No. I've made him into quite a monster.
He's not a good guy.
If you write a children's book about this, I want a portion of that.
No, you'll get 100% of it, Kerry. I mean, I'll do it for free and you'll get all the money. Absolutely.
So,
I don't know. Are you?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I was done
10 minutes ago.
I was done before I even stopped you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I don't want to bore you guys. So you've been to New York already.
Yes.
And I think if I had to pick, so I think this is the one.
Okay.
I mean, I have more stories. I think the best entree at a place called L'Artusi in New York, which I wish I'd known before you went. I would have told you to go there. They do this charred octopus.
Mm.
And they serve it with little like fingerling potatoes, I think, and olives and chili. So it's so simple, but so flavorful. And it's just insane. And the last time I went there was not that long ago. This is how good it is. I went there by myself. You can't really get a reservation there very easily. But I just thought, you know what? I'm going to walk over there when it first opens at 5:30 by myself and see if I could sit at the bar. And even then, I had to wait maybe like 40 minutes. But I sat at the bar, restaurant's totally packed all night long, and got a glass of wine and had a few things. But this was my entree. And, chatted up to the people next to me or whatever. I love people that love food.
Yeah.
It's always a good icebreaker.
You talk to strangers?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah. Not me. Yeah.
Never?
Too nervous. Leave it.
I'll tell you who would be able to talk to strangers. Kenny Bunkport.
You're right. Yeah. Way to bring it back.
Yeah. KB have been there.
Way to bring it back.
What are you guys eating over there?
Yeah, dude, I enjoy clam, personally.
Yeah. They put clams in their meal, even though they weren't eating clams anyway. That's what Kenny Bunkport would do.
You could just use it as like a mask when you feel shy. I mean, you don't even have to have the clams. You could just pretend to be him.
Yeah. That's the point. Just pretend to be Kenny Bunkport.
When you don't want to talk to strangers, but then you have to.
What would Kenny do?
What would Kenny Bunkport do in that situation?
He talked to the strangers and he put clams in their meal, even though they didn't ask.
Yeah. They're chocolate. Chocolate clams would be nice. Anyway.
I love octopus. I think it's delicious. Some people get squeamish about octopus. How do you feel about it, James?
I'm one of those people who, as long as it doesn't look like an octopus, I'm fine with it.
Oh, it looks like an octopus.
So the whole thing is in there?
Well, it's a big, long tentacle. Like a big piece of tentacle. That's pretty much what's on your plate.
The tentacle I can hack. I think the head bit is what kind of like puts me off.
I don't know if anybody eats the head.
Yeah.
I've only ever seen squid rings, I guess, is the head, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
Seen Old Boy when he just eats a live octopus?
No.
And he did it for real?
No.
Well, the actor just did it for real.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Do you ever believe in that? Like when you've done your acting parts, do you be like, I insist on doing it for real every time? Or do you, I'm an actor.
I wouldn't do anything like that. Would be weird. I wouldn't eat real. I mean, to me, I wouldn't eat a live real octopus.
Especially
over
if it had nothing to do with the role.
Yeah,
it wasn't in the script.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do that.
If you were just in the Daily Planet offices and then decided to get a live octopus out of the drawer,
that would be weird.
Yeah, that would be weird.
What a scene that would be, though. Everyone would still be talking about that scene.
Maybe they would.
When Lois ate a live octopus for no reason.
Absolutely no reason.
Right. I think I did Kenny eat. There was an episode where I ate frogs, I think, on that show.
Oh, yeah?
But it was so long ago, I don't remember.
You probably faked that.
I'm sure that I did. That's my point.
And I probably weren't alive.
So my point is, yeah, I would eat frogs. Frog legs is definitely something that's up there on my list. It didn't quite make it to, well, it sort of did. There's a restaurant in Paris that called Chez la Milouie that people sometimes refer to as the most expensive bistro in the world. And it's got the most controversial reviews. Like some people say it's the best restaurant in you know, to go to, and some people say it's the worst restaurant.
Oh, wow.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of funny. But when I went there, again, with the people that I was with, we had an amazing time, beautiful roast chicken, the best French fries, frog legs. Mm-hmm. And then for dessert, they brought out this big bowl of the darkest, purplest Bing cherries, like the biggest cherries, just fresh cherries.
It's the bowl of cherries.
Yeah. But I mean, fantastic. Like those cherries were just fantastic. I mean, they were just insane.
How much for that bowl of cherries do you think?
I don't remember. I'm sure it was an expensive meal. Yeah. That's what people say about this place. Yeah, that it's very, very expensive.
They definitely know that people are coming because they know it's expensive, and they're doing things like bringing out a bowl of cherries and going, "God, we know that you'll eat that and still pay for it. We've not even taken the stones out.
Eat those cherries.
Eat those cherries."
So, out of all those dishes, what would you? What, are you going for the octopus?
I think the octopus. Yeah.
What's accompanying that octopus on the side there?
Let me pull out my handy-dandy list that I typed up last night.
Chapter four of this novel.
You guys, I love food. I can't help myself.
That's what we want. That's what we want.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll start with this one because it's from Cornwall. Actually, I have two dishes on my list from Cornwall. This is from the Scarlet Hotel.
Cornwall in England?
Cornwall in England. I just looked at a house there online the other day. I've been threatening to buy a house there, well, ever since I went the first time, which is probably 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. I've been surfing there.
Wow, really?
Yeah. No, I've like...
Surfer?
I've like three... I'm not a surfer, but I have been surfing there. Yeah. If I lived there, I think I would try to surf more. Mm-hmm.
Do you say
I was not very good at it. No, I don't say that. Or Kenny Bunkport.
Kenny Bunkport is...
That'd be quite a good thing to say while surfing.
Kenny Bunkport, dude.
Yeah, Kenny Bunkport, baby.
What was my point? Oh, Scarlet Hotel has, back to bread. Bread worth eating. serves you kind of at the beginning of your meal, or it could be a side dish, these little paprika kind of like bread rolls. They're just, I don't even know, like a knot almost. So that was on my list as a side dish. And let's see what else. Oh, cause this is strange. I was in Bangkok last summer at a restaurant called Canvas, and they served this bread again, made out of rice. So it was gluten, the texture of this thing, I'd never eaten anything like it. It was amazing. And then lastly, and I think this is the one I'm going to put on our menu here today, is from a place in New York called Bohemian, little tiny Japanese place. And they serve something called the hot and cold crudité, which sounds really boring. It's just raw vegetables. But it's served in this big bowl, like with all this ice and these big, large pieces of vegetable just sticking up out of this ice. And then this amazing... you know, gourmet version of some sort of dip that you would want to dip the vegetables into. And it's just insane to me that out of everything I've eaten could make the list, but something about it was just great.
There's something about very fresh, cold vegetables.
Yeah.
And a nice, I completely agree. That sounds amazing.
It was amazing.
I've had something similar, actually, not in a Japanese restaurant, in a restaurant in Copenhagen called Bar.
Oh, okay.
Which is a phenomenal restaurant if you ever go there.
I have been there.
And one of the dishes is the dips. Yeah, yeah. I'm
trying to think if I've had that. I think I was there right when that opened.
Oh, great.
Have you been to Amass?
No, I didn't get to Amass.
Oh, okay.
I think next
time. Another great restaurant. Yeah. Yeah.
We did a lot of eating though. We went to Cadeau and to Manfred's. That is, I think, the best place for food I've ever been.
So you're the foodie? Or you're both foodies?
No, we both are, but we sort of, you know, whenever we can, we go to places.
Ed's a lot better at memorising it and understanding what he's just eaten.
And I'm the one organising on this trip of where we're going to eat.
Okay, yes, but you do trips about going to food?
Yeah, so everywhere I go would be based on the food.
I'm like that.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way that I'd never go somewhere if it didn't have a good reputation for food or the place right. that I wanted to eat. I think.
Right. Do you get I get the every year the 50 best restaurants in the world list, and then I try to knock a few of those off.
I don't think I've ever done that. I need to start sort of trying to tick them off.
The farthest one I ever went to, I went to Favaken in Sweden, which is literally in the middle of nowhere, like a plane to a plane and then 2 hours to another thing. Like, you are literally in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And that guy, that's closed now, but that guy was doing really interesting things with like classic traditional Nordic food,
mm-hmm.
which is typically a little rough.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like a lot of preserved things and gamey stuff. Some of it was really interesting. He was very interesting chef. And then I went the only Michelin star, like 3 hour sort of experience dinner, 19 course or whatever I went to by myself. I went to Attica in Melbourne in Australia. And I got ready in the hotel, and then I went over to the restaurant, and I was pacing up and down outside the restaurant going like, it's okay, you can go to dinner by yourself. Like, it's going to be okay. It's not weird that you're going to dinner by yourself. Because this isn't like popping into, you know, I can live in my neighborhood here in LA and pop in somewhere and eat really quickly by myself, whatever. That doesn't bother me. But like going to fine dining, 3 hour, 19 course, you know, $250 mm-hmm. meal, whatever it is, by yourself. Like most people are there for their anniversary, their birthday, to propose to somebody, you know, whatever. That's what people are doing there. And it was actually great. I ended up closing the place with the general manager drinking whiskey.
Amazing.
Like, while the waiters were, you know, taking the tablecloths off the table and everything. It was amazing.
I think it's great. If I ever see someone in one of those places eating by themselves, I just think you're an absolute badass who clearly loves food.
Everyone respects that person.
I've done it once before. I went to, it's closed as well now, WD50 in New York, which is Wiley Dufresne's place.
Okay.
And sat up at the bar by myself and had like a, you know, 12 course tasting menu, chatting to the bar, and the barman was like making cocktails and testing new ones and was just throwing some down my way.
Oh, that's nice.
Great.
Yeah.
Is Attica Ben Shuey's restaurant?
Yes.
Now who's the foodie, Ed?
Wow, nice way. Kenny Bunkport.
Kenny Bunkport.
He's finally, you went into the character of Kenny.
Kenny Bunkport pulled it off. Yes. That's also the place where I had the weirdest food, I guess I ever, well, I don't know if it's the weirdest. It was good. Two things. The first course, the first whole, like maybe 45 minutes, was with no silverware. And I was like, huh. So you had all the dishes that came, maybe four or five dishes, you eat with your hands.
Yeah.
And there was one dish in particular, speaking of the vegetable thing, was just like fresh lettuces and some sort of dressing. And you're supposed to take the vegetables and sort of wipe them through and, you know, eat. And I'm sure this was what he wanted, but you go from them first saying you can't have any utensils, and you're thinking like, oh my God, how am I going to possibly, this is ridiculous, to this joyful, playful, kid-like thing of like, oh my gosh, I'm eating with my hands. This is so fun and so the way it should be.
And they bring a bowl of sand.
Yeah, and then they bring sand, and then the pediatrician goes, it's okay, you'll just poop it out. It's fine.
Great, every meal into a pediatrician coming out.
Don't worry, you're going to poop that out.
You're going to poop all this out. Goodbye.
Yeah, just hope Ed's uncle isn't around.
And then the dessert they had was kind of some sort of frozen dessert, but on the top of it was like pop rock ants. Like ants. Oh, and I've eaten a cricket one time. But the ants really, they're presented like chocolate sprinkles, you know. Going into that, I thought, oh, wow, I might have to pass on this.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
And then I thought, I'm all the way in Melbourne. I'm by myself.
Yeah.
I have to at least taste this. And the truth is, once I had one bite, it was really good.
So we come to your favorite drink. Have you got a few contenders?
I do. You know, in line with the rest of my lecture that I'm giving you here. Okay, this is my top choice. So actually, this is my top choice, hands down. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really need to write the other ones, but I do like these other places. So so Faith and Flower is a restaurant downtown, and they make a cocktail called Milk Punch. And apparently it's they take the milk. I don't know if the milk is fermented or distilled. The milk is distilled for like 3 days with vodka, and then they strain it and then I think they infuse it again or something, but it is ridiculous. It's just so good, I don't even know what to say.
It's a boozy milk, basically.
It's distilled milk, yeah. I guess it is. You don't get any sense of milk, though.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. And it's very clear. By the time it gets to you, it's not as clear as vodka, but, like, very, you know, pretty clear. They also do milk punch at Nightshades, which is also downtown. And they're both good. But the first place I ever had milk punch was at Faith and Flower. And it really is the cocktail that I remember most from around the world. It's something to do with infusing, I don't know, you put vodka with the milk,
yeah,
and you let it sit for like 3 days and then you strain it out and maybe there's some other kinds of flavors in it.
I'm always amazed, how do they even get to that point? How do they go, well, I'm going to mix vodka and milk and then mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave it and then I'm going to taste it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that Faith and Flower milk punch, and this is now probably going back like 5 years, that won the best cocktail in the city and maybe the best cocktail in the country.
Oh, wow.
Like, that was an award-winning
wow.
We've got
cocktail
to go
at
that,
the
though.
Time.
Oh, I'm definitely having the milk punch.
Yeah.
The other two places that you should go just to drink and eat, there's a place called Here's Looking at You. Here's Looking at You. Not Here's Looking at You, Kid. I always say that. Here's Looking at You. That's in Koreatown, and that's kind of Asian fusion thing again. You know, bone marrow stuff, and but also fish, insane cocktails. And they used to do this thing. This is my love of food, okay? So, and this is another go by yourself, sit at the bar situation. When they first opened, they don't do this anymore, but when they first opened, small restaurant, if you sat at the bar, only if you sat at the bar, you got they would make one pie a day. So they have great pastries and great desserts that you can get when you're just at a regular table. But if you're at the bar, they made one pie a day, and this was like the best pie, and I make good pie. This was the best pie I've ever had, and you could get a piece of the pie if you got there early enough and if you sat at the bar. And it was like this secret thing. If you didn't know, and then people would be like, I'd like a piece of pie, and they'd be like, you can't get that. You know, like, and I was, and I just, so I don't know
you're
if it was.
You're not a pie person.
You're not a pie person. I don't know if it was the secret of knowing that you knew what to do to get the pie, like you have to sit at the bar, or if it was that the pie was actually indeed so amazing, or maybe it was both of those things, but that was a really fun thing, but they don't do it anymore. And then,
How do you know if they don't do it anymore? Maybe they made it even more difficult to get the same pie.
You're right, and I'm off the list.
Yeah.
It's something I don't
know. Maybe
you
have to go and sit in the bathroom
and
shout for the secret pie and then they bring it
to
you.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe I just don't know. That'd be so sad.
Lock yourself in one of the cubicles and you have to sing a little song about how much you love pie.
Yeah.
And then they slice underneath the door.
And then you get it.
How would that song go?
It's funny because Kenny Bunkport would be
I think Kenny would know the song.
Kenny would sing it.
Yeah.
I am a pie guy. I've always been a pie guy. A pie boy into a pie man. I'm a pie guy. Can I have some pie, please?
There we go. There's the song.
And that ding, and then your pie shows up through
the
door.
Yeah.
Except it comes through like the prison little slot because you're in the insane asylum when you're singing that song. That's where they put you. It's just funny when you know about. And maybe this is why I don't eat processed food and I do cook a lot for myself. And when you know about these great foods, you know, when you know that this pie exists or you know these great desserts or whatever, it just makes it hard to just eat crap, you know?
Yeah.
Like, anyway, okay, so Here's Looking at You and then Nomad. Did you say you went to Nomad in New York when you were there?
No. Is that the hotel?
Yeah.
No, so I did. I went and had a drink in Nomad, actually.
So they have one here in LA.
Okay, cool.
And their cocktail list is like a encyclopedia. It's like, you feel like by the time...
I had a glass of wine, Terry. I feel like an absolute
fool.
Did
you really?
Yeah.
We arrive at the dessert, my favorite of the courses. I'm quite optimistic that it's going to be a delicious dessert because and a sugary dessert or a sweet dessert because of the cakes that you made. However,
and a lot of the pie chat as well.
And the pie chat as well.
James is always worried. He's always worried that people aren't going to go for like a sweet dessert.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes people choose cheese and biscuits and...
Oh, I'm not choosing that.
Oh, good. Otherwise, I'd have to
be like second dessert. You know,
An extra one.
Extra dessert, I think. If cheese. I mean, cheese is great. Good cheese is great. But that's not the direction I went in. And for me, I'm more of a savory person. Like, I would rather have an extra side of great fries or an extra bowl of pasta than dessert. Like, I... No?
I agree.
That is the wrong choice, lady. You are going to go ejected through the roof now. No, push the button.
I think you're correct. I think you're correct, Terry. James, I can feel him tensing up when you said that you'd rather have an extra bowl of pasta than a dessert. But I completely agree with you.
But I would.
Each their own.
I've got your back here. Don't you worry. You can stay in the restaurant.
Okay, that said, this was very hard for me to choose. But... If I'm going to pick, I'm going to go with Paul Ainsworth's Taste of the Fairground. And that's, he won one of those cooking chef shows with that.
British Menu, maybe.
I guess,
yeah. I think so.
I don't even know that this actual dessert is on his menu anymore, but I did have it when it was, and I've had dessert since, and he does some incredible ingenuity, and flavor. It comes together. Like I said, since I don't really do dessert a lot, it has to have like a special thematic thing, which leads me to, maybe these two tie. Okay, so this is probably one of the best restaurants in the world, Alinea. In Chicago.
I've heard it's
one of those molecular kind of places.
Yeah.
And many, many things. I haven't been there in a long time, but many things that I had still remain in my mind. Like, wow, that was one of the greatest things I've ever had. But I think beyond a doubt, if I was going to pick one thing ever in a restaurant ever, they made a dessert that was an apple taffy blown up into a balloon with helium.
Oh, yeah.
And it would come to your table like an actual balloon, an edible balloon, and you would put your mouth on the balloon and it would kind of dissolve some of the taffy while you sucked in the helium. And then I was with four people. Everybody would be, oh my gosh, can you believe this is happening to us? This meal has been the most amazing meal of my entire life. And then, then you'd start talking and then you'd get another helium hit. And oh my God, we're never going to.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy and laughing, and it was just a very memorable experience.
What's in the Taste of the Fairground as well? What's in that one?
So that he had that set up as a whole, like a fairground, and there were candy apples and toffee things and fudge things and marshmallow things and ice cream, and it just was this beautiful sort of carousel of sugar.
It's sort of like a better version of what you did on Bake Off, James.
Well, yeah. I guess they improved on my idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At any point, is there an iced egg involved in the Taste of the Fairground?
I don't recall an iced egg, but the next time I see Paul, I'll mention to him that he might want to consider that.
He might want to consider it.
Actually, if it was going to be Taste of the Fairground, I'd probably ice a coconut.
A whole coconut.
I'd have a coconut shy and I'd ice the coconut properly to look like a happy person at the fairground. So... That one with the helium balloons.
Yes.
Is that the chef who lost his sense of smell or taste?
I think he had cancer of the tongue.
Wow.
He lost his sense of taste, this guy.
Yeah.
And then he managed to make this amazing, inspirational,
brilliant story about how he survived and came back and now has more restaurants and is so successful. Grant.
Like imagine that, like if you as a comedian lost your sense of humor.
Oh, no, that happened many years ago.
So... Read you back your menu and see how you feel about it. Now, you've had a lot of... You've had to really...
Struggle. You've struggled, is what's happened.
Haven't you, to narrow this down? So.
This is the most Benito's ever had to write during the podcast.
I apologize.
It's great. And also because what we like to do is we like to keep track of all the restaurants that are mentioned on the podcast. Yes. So we can put them on the website.
Oh, okay.
So people can go, oh, that sounds nice. I'd like to go there maybe one day. And you have mentioned so many restaurants, and I've seen how much he's had to write, and it's making me laugh a lot.
Okay. Well, Ed, I'm holding this in my hand now, and let me tell you, I too thought that he was writing down all the names of the restaurants and stuff like that, but reading it back, it says, Fairest Princess. It is I, the Knight Benito.
I am heavy on the mead.
It was a brutal day on the battlefield and many lives were lost.
I have heard word that your head has been turned by the Dark Knight Gamble.
See, you can do it. You join in tonight, please.
Needed a night to loosen up. He's going to be ready. You guys watch out.
Yeah.
He's getting there. He's coming for the princess tonight.
A couple of flagons of ale.
Yep. Okay, so you passed on the water.
I did.
You had the burnt black sesame bread with chicken liver pate from Bavel.
Mm-hmm.
Starter, Kumamoto oyster from Southern Ocean Lodge on Kangaroo Island. Your main course, charred octopus from Lartusi in New York City. Side dish, hot and cold crudité from Bohemian, also in New York. Drink, milk punch from Faith and Flower in LA. And dessert, Taste of the Fairground by Paul Ainsworth.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You did good? Very well.
I do. I feel like I wish it was all here. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it does sound like a delicious meal.
I think out of all of our guests, you are the one who's done the most research.
Yes.
And has clearly eaten in some amazing places. Some people just like pick like the ham.
Mm.
So
yes.
You've put more effort into your menu today than we've ever put into this podcast.
Okay.
in all the combined episodes that we've ever recorded.
You've
put more effort into it for this episode.
I hope that's not too obnoxious.
No, it's a compliment.
I truly love food, and I also love hosting. And I know you guys are not from LA, so I really do. You should go to Kismet. You should go to Gorilla Tacos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll go to those places and maybe take some photos of ourselves outside of them. So far, it was taking one photo of one of us outside a restaurant, and it was me, and it was a restaurant that last time I went there, I shit myself. So the photo was just to commemorate that. I was like, oh, there's that restaurant that I shat my pants in, and then we went over and we took a photo of me outside of it. So, you know.
A lot of poop jokes going on.
Sorry, apologies.
I'll be honest, it's been fairly light on the poop.
There's a lot of stuff I've been restraining. When you said about the balloons full of helium, I was going to say about someone farting in it.
Yeah.
And that you got to eat the balloon and then someone as a prank has farted in your balloon. But I didn't say it because I thought it'd be inappropriate.
But you did now.
Yeah, well, okay. I just thought I'd be honest with you about what was going on.
I feel good about you being honest. Be yourself.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
I can take it.
The thing is, it wouldn't have been a good joke.
Kenny Bunkport would have said the fart thing.
Kenny Bunkport would have said it, but it would have been bad, and like it's not a good joke. I knew at the time, don't say that. That's stupid.
Yeah.
So I didn't say it. But then I felt like now we've acknowledged that we're just a couple of poop gag merchants. We may as well admit that at one point I had that in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm quite ashamed of myself.
The podcast in the can now, so it's too late for you to back out, Terry.
Okay.
So if we'd been that horrible at the beginning, you could have said, oh, I'm out.
Wait, isn't there like a secret thing that if somebody, or do you guys not do that anymore?
There's a secret ingredient that if someone says them, we have to kick them out the restaurant.
I was so sure that with all I talk about food that I would say it.
Sure, yeah.
I was thinking, and then I was really imagining, what do they actually do? Like, are they actually just going to say, Terry, you can leave now?
Yeah.
I guess we would have to.
What's the word?
Well, so this time, and actually, I mean, could have been, you mentioned a lot of bread.
So many different breads.
So it could have been this, but it was, and this is me, I don't like this. Ed likes it.
Yeah.
But I don't like it, so it's made the list of secret ingredients, is a brioche bun.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I don't like brioche buns and burgers and stuff like that.
Oh, you don't. What about a pretzel bun? Do you like pretzel buns?
I'd have a pretzel bun. I'd have a potato bun. I'd have a... Yeah, there's loads
you're just done with the brioche. So brioche sesame. Was the word?
Yes.
Brioche bun. Oh. Brioche bun.
Brioche bun was the word.
You would have been out, especially... Okay. If it were, I think if you'd said it in your dessert, we would have been a bit more lenient.
But if he was gone,
a burger and a brioche bun, I'd be like, goodbye.
Wow.
And I would have taken your notes and I would have ripped them up.
Yeah, I would have
thrown them off the balcony as you were leaving out the front door.
I don't handle rejection well. That would have been really bad.
But I
kind of forgot about it once we were talking. I didn't think about it until right now.
Yeah, that's good.
But then before I came over here, I thought, oh, wow, I wonder what happens if you get kicked out.
Well, we're at the end now. Feel free to say brioche bun now and then we'll kick you out.
I do make an unbelievable burger with
brioche
bun.
Get out,
Terry Hatcher. Get out of the dream restaurant.
Come back.
Wait, you don't want to hear how I inject it with duck fat and brie?
Oh, that sounds really good. No. Come back, Terry, come back!
That does sound good. Duck fat and brie sounds good.
Terry Hatcher there.
Whoa, what a pleasure.
What a pleasure and what a menu. I'd say, in terms of guests that we've had, that is the most dedication to food and the most research that's gone in, I'm going to say.
So impressed. I'm so impressed by the amount of work that went into it. I'm humbled by the fact that someone would prepare so much for our podcast.
And, oh, all those places sounded so good. I felt stupid that I'd not been to any of those places.
Oh, don't worry.
Oh, I felt
stupid. Don't worry, man.
I just like don't feel eggs stupid. And stuff.
Yeah, we can't say that. Yeah, Terry Hatcher. Oh, yeah, those sound great. Have you been to Egg Slot? We went to Egg Slot today.
Yes, no, yes, it's not fun to say. No. Wonderful, wonderful menu. And she did not say brioche buns, but whew, very interesting to know that she was worried that she was going to say the secret ingredient.
Yeah, normally the guests don't come in, going, uh-oh, I know there's a secret ingredient here. Probably pretty tense for the whole episode. That was our doing there. We've made people feel on edge.
Thank God the secret ingredient was an octopus.
Yes. Oh, but it will never be. Are you going to eat it?
Yes.
Eat all those things, aren't you? Yeah. I can tell it in your eyes when Terry was explaining her menu.
So delicious. You should hit us up on the socials. That's all of us, including Terry. Her Instagram account is Official Terry Hatcher. And all of Terry's work speaks for itself. She's got a huge back catalogue that you should go and fully investigate if you haven't.
Absolutely. Ed, can people find you on social media?
Yes, but I'm very much here to plug the podcast social media.
Oh, yeah, that's
Off Menu Official.
At Off Menu Official is the Twitter.
Yes.
On Instagram, it's also at Off Menu Official.
And what's the website, James?
The website is offmenupodcast.com.
.co.uk. Oh, so close. God. So close, but really good, man. You're totally getting there. You're going to be an influencer before we leave LA.
Thank you, man. Also, a lot, as we said in the episode, there were so many restaurants mentioned in Terry's episode, and they will all be on the Off Menu Official website. There is a restaurants page on the website where Benito has painstakingly listed every single place that's mentioned in every single episode of this podcast. He's put hyperlinks to all of them so that you can just click on the name and it will take you to the website of that place. He's grouped it all into, like, here's all the London ones, here's all the LA ones, here's all the New York ones, here's all the ones in Melbourne. He's done all of that for you. You can go on there. It's an absolute dream. But for a laugh, tweet him and ask where those restaurants are.
Yeah, where they are, what was the restaurant you mentioned, etc. And Terry is the final guest of this series of Off Menu. So thank you very much to Terry. Thank you, the listener. We will be back soon in the Dream Restaurant with more special guests. But for now, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetito, Mr. Benito.
I'm Gina Martin, a campaigner and writer.
And I'm Stevie Martin. I'm a comedian and writer, and also we're sisters.
We are sisters, and we're doing our new podcast, Might Delete Later. It's a podcast about social media, about going back, looking at your embarrassing ones, things you like, things you don't like, and we're talking to all different types of people.
So many different types of people. We've got writers, we've got comedians. Maybe we'll get a politician.
Maybe we'll get a dog.
Maybe I'll talk to a plant, deal with it.
Who knows?
It's like a little snapshot into people's social media lives.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll make you think more about how you use social media and how you feel about it.
So do subscribe on all of the platforms that you usually get your podcasts on, and visit at Might Delete Later Pod on Instagram, because we're going to be putting up really fun videos and the things that you didn't see in the podcast episode.
Ooh, exciting. Thanks, dudes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.